Mark chapter number 10. Now, what I want to do is I'm going to read a few of these verses, and we'll kind of remind ourselves what's going on. In verse 28 at the paragraph, Mark says, "Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and last first." So if you remember what's going on, the story previous was the rich man, and he was trusting his riches according to verse number 24. It talks about how in the middle of the verse, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, you got to remember, when you rightly divide the word of truth, and that is a command, 2 Timothy 2:15 says rightly dividing the word of truth. And the reason why you have to rightly divide, why does it say rightly divide the word of truth?
That's right, brother.
Because you have to divide truth from truth.
That's right.
The truth in the kingdom program is not the same thing. Oftentimes, now there are principles, moral principles that will match. But they had doctrine in the kingdom program that does not match your doctrine. So you have to rightly divide the truth. For instance, under the law, it tells you in Leviticus 11, you are not to eat pork. Now, every one of us, we probably going to go home. If you cook on Sunday, and somebody's probably going to cook some ribs or some bacon or some pork chops, and I like them pork chops about that thick. Aren't they good, aren't they? Well, if you was under the law, it was truth in their day that they could not eat pork chops.
That's right.
But it's not true for you. Why 1 Timothy chapter 4 tells you every creature is good if it be received with thanksgiving. So there's a difference. There's all kind of differences. I've told you before on this kingdom program, they would get the Holy Ghost would come upon them. And you know what they could do? Samson whipped 1,000 people.
That's right.
Now, I think any of us men would love to be able to whip 1,000 men at one time. Now, is that just me, or would that not be something? It'd be, well, that man right there whip 1,000 now. That'd be something, but you can't do that today. Why? You're going to get some pop knots on your head in the shape of wishbone formation you do that. Now, what, there's a difference in programs, and so what we're looking at here, the cross hadn't even happened yet.
Now,
he's going to tell them what he's going to do, and here in just a minute, I'm going to show you verses where I get there where it says he told them, and they didn't even understand it. Well, here's then in this dispensation here, your apostle, the apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle Paul tells you the gospel by which you're saved in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you are, and he uses this word, saved.
Amen.
And I'm going to use a Bible word too. Why? Because this morning, if you trust that gospel, you're saved. You're not almost saved.
Yes.
You think the Lord just pulled you up about 10 feet from the shoreline and said, "Now look, I got you pretty close. Now you need to make sure you swim the rest. A shark may get you before you get there."
Right.
You know what he did? He pulled you all the way up on the bank and put a barrier up here and says, "You can't even go back."
That's right.
Now you better make sure you get that thing. Why? You got people, some of them be sitting in this room, "Well, I'm doing pretty good." Are you rejoicing always? That's a command.
That's right.
The Bible says praying always.
Yeah, that's right.
That means if you're doing what the Word of God says, you're supposed to be constantly in a state of prayer where you can pray anytime, any month. Are you doing that all the time? Well, if you're not keeping it, uh-oh. What are you going to do if you die in that state? Guess what? If you're complete in Christ, you're going to heaven, aren't you?
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Okay, you got these folks, and they're like Paul Washer. I name their name because they're false teachers. And John MacArthur, he's a false teacher. He teaches you that the death of Christ is what saved you, not the blood of Christ. Colossians 1:14 said, it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You take out the blood, you don't have anything.
That's right.
Death without the blood, what good's that going to do?
That's right.
Okay, what I'm saying is you got these people that tell all this stuff and they say, "If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all." You know what Jesus is going to say in this very chapter here in just a little bit? That's what the Gentiles do. They exercise lordship over people. The Lord Jesus Christ gives you the free will. He's not going to make you get saved. And He's not going to make you serve Him. God won't make you serve Him. The devil can't make you serve Him. You have to choose who you're going to serve. So what you have is, they say, if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. Okay, let's put your thoughts. If you're so good, you're doing so good, let's put your thoughts for the last 24 hours up on the board and let everybody see what you've been thinking for the last 24 hours. Any takers? Anybody in this room? We're not as good as we thought we were, are we? What you have is, you have to make sure today you're complete in Christ. Now, we're under a situation right here. Ephesians chapter 2 tells you that us Gentiles had no covenants and promises. Under the law, the Gentiles had to come to God through the Jews. They had to become Jews.
That's
all through the Bible. He come to the nation of Israel. What do we have today? Once He revealed the revelation, the mystery of the Apostle Paul, He said, you know what I'm doing? I'm saving Jew and Gentile both alike by grace through faith alone. He said, you can't argue with this verse. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God.
That's right.
What kind of God give you a gift and say, look, I'm going to give you this watch, but in 10 years I want you to come by and mow my yard? Ceases to be a gift. It's the gift. But now under this program right here, the kingdom's being preached at hand, and all through their prophetical program, they have things that they have to do because they are under covenant with God.
That's right.
In Exodus, He said, here's the things I want you to do. And they said, we will do these things. And they entered into a covenant with God.
That's right.
So you know what happens with us? We have no covenants and promises. Ephesians chapter 2 says we're under a different program than the nation Israel. So it's the same cross and the same blood that saves us that'll save them. But you got to understand there are rules and regulations for them that's not the same thing that is required for us today. For instance, He tells this young man over here,
yes.
Verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And you got David Platt that writes a book called Radical, and he teaches that very principle right there and tells people, you're not serving Christ unless you sell everything and go follow the Lord. Okay, well, you're going to follow the Bible. Go. If you're going to go with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's kingdom doctrine, well, that's everybody in here, sell everything you have then. Why aren't you going to do that? Because you know what Paul tells you? Your apostle tells you, if a man won't work, neither should he eat.
That's right.
You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to go to work. Why?
That's
because
right.
The thing has changed. Right here, the kingdom is at hand, and Christ said, if you're really going to follow me and you've been observing what I've been saying, then I want you to do this, because He's the King of the kingdom that's being prophesied at hand right now. And He's saying, look, they're looking at Daniel's time scale. They're looking at going into Daniel's 70th week. They're looking at going into the tribulation. Now, why would He tell him to sell everything he has? Because Israel's called a commonwealth, and they would have everything together. And everybody would pull everything together, and Israel's commonwealth would have all those things together. That's what happens in Acts chapter 2.
That's right.
They're having a commonwealth of Israel. Everybody's selling everything they have. Why? Because they're still looking for that kingdom to come. Why is that? From the cross, He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did Jesus get His prayer answered? You better believe He did. So they got a renewed chance here in early Acts. So all this stuff about them selling all that they have, that has to do with the kingdom program. You are not under that requirement today.
Amen.
The requirement for you is trust the gospel. The Bible said He wants all to be saved, come to the knowledge of the truth. So once you get saved, He wants you to come to the knowledge of the truth and apply that truth in your daily life.
Amen.
That's what He wants you to do. So you get this thing right here, and how would it say in verse number 30, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. Okay, now in this time, under that program, what they have is, if everybody's selling everything they have, everybody's going to have houses and lands and everything that will get them through until the kingdom comes. And He said then, in the world to come, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ comes back in the second advent and sets up that kingdom, they're going to have the world to come, and earth is their kingdom.
That's right.
Now, they're going to have a hundredfold. Now, us, you know what? For the body of Christ, the Bible says your conversation is in heaven from whence we look for the Savior.
That's right.
You got to understand there's two programs, a program for heaven and a program for earth. You replace all those thrones and dominions and powers that the devil and all his angels took up residence up there. The Bible tells you, you are going to take up all those reference, all those places. That's why he says you're seated together in heavenly places in Christ. And guess what? In the tribulation period, Revelation 12, he said the devil and his angels were cast out of heaven and there was no more place found for them.
Right.
Why? Because you take up residence in those places.
Amen.
You got to have those programs delineated and make sure you know what you're looking at. If not, you're going to have things placed on you that's not required for you. But now I want you to see something about this hundredfold. It's connected to blessing. I've got two verses here on this hundredfold, and then I want you to turn to Job 42 with me. This hundredfold, the first connection is in Genesis 26, verse 12. It said, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him." So when you look at the biblical reference to a hundredfold, it has to do with the Lord's blessing. Then the next reference to a hundredfold is connected with trusting Him. You remember David, he numbered the people when he wasn't supposed to. Okay? And Job was warning him. And Job in 2 Samuel 24, 3 says, "And Joab said unto the king, Now the Lord thy God add unto the people how many soever they be, an hundredfold, and that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing?" Joab is telling him, hey, if you do what God says and you trust Him, you're going to get a hundredfold. Now, when you read that Bible over there, David numbered those people. He didn't do it according to what God said. In Exodus, He told him how to number the people. And in Numbers, He tells him, you're not supposed to number the people unless I tell you to. So you know what that's telling you? David wasn't trusting what God had told him to do in His Word. So a hundredfold is connected with blessing, and a hundredfold is connected with doing what God's Word said over your flesh. Then you get Job. Job 42, this is amazing. How many months, people think that Bible's just, somebody just threw it together. How many months are in the Great Tribulation? The Great Tribulation is 3.5 years. That's the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Alright, it's 42 months mentioned over in Daniel. I mean, not Daniel, but Revelation. How many chapters are Job? Job is 42 chapters long. That's a picture of 42 months. And who's persecuting Job? The devil. You know what that Bible tells about those people that's going through that time? The devil is a roaring lion. He's going about seeking whom he may devour. In Revelation, that verse I quoted to you in Revelation 12, said the devil comes down to earth. He's literally on earth persecuting them. You know what's going on with Job? The devil's persecuting Job. This is a picture of the Jew going through that tribulation.
Right.
Now, we talked about that hundredfold. Now in this time, Job went through all those things. And when you look at Job 42, look at verse number 12. It says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now, why that's so interesting is now take your Bible there and turn to Job chapter 1 and verse number 3. Job 1 verse number 3. Because it told you what all he had at the latter end. Now Job chapter 1 and verse number 3. Says his substance also was 7,000 sheep. All right, that's half. He had 14,000 sheep, remember, over there at the end of it. It said, and 3,000 camels. Okay, well, over there at the end, it said he had 6. The Lord's doubling it. It says, and 500 yoke of oxen. Well, he had 1,000 over at the end. And 500 she-asses. Well, see, the Lord's doubling it. And a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. Well, he lost those things for a while. He gained double. That's going to match where it says in this time, because everybody who sells out in that kingdom program, they're going to have everything in this time as far as mothers and sisters and brothers. Everybody's following the Lord because they're like one Greek. They're called the family of God. All right. But then Job, you got to understand something. He got blessing then. But he's going to go into that kingdom one of these days. And all those children and all those things, they're going to multiply. He'll get his hundredfold in the world to come.
Yes,
what he's telling them is, look, you give up, you sell out, you'll have not only blessing in this time, but in the world to come as well. So that's what that hundredfold is connected to. Blessing is connected to trusting. Now, you know what? You say, well, isn't that wonderful? Y'all, what we have today is even better than that. You say, why is that? Let me show you a verse. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Look, their program is good, but you got to understand, it's the same God. It's two programs. That's why people, look, I've wondered, you know, for years, how do people have Bible verses? And one says this, one says, one man's got a Bible verse, another man's got a Bible verse. Well, you know what it is? They got the programs mixed up.
That's
yes,
right.
They got a Bible verse, but if you get the Bible verse in the wrong place,
right.
Well, then you're in trouble.
That's
I want to show you what you have today, according to Ephesians chapter 1. As wonderful as that sounds, you've got something better in the body of Christ. When you trust the gospel, the grace of God, for your salvation, you've got something immediate.
Amen.
That no one can take away. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse number 3. The Bible says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, watch this, hath blessed us. So some of those car tags where it says blessed, you know, on the front, I don't know. But when you read that verse right there, they're right about that part. Why? Because you're already blessed. It says, hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where at? In heavenly places in Christ. Now, can you touch heavenly places? No. Can you get a hold of Christ? No. Can the devil? So what's that? Can somebody rob you of your blessings in Christ and in heavenly places? I doubt it. So what you have is he's given you everything as a present possession now. You know what our trouble is? We just don't even appropriate it. The problem is for people in the body of Christ now is we forget what we have. You know what we're trying to do? We're taught. And you've heard these sermons just like I have since you was a kid. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. And stop doing the other thing. And if you quit doing this, and if you quit doing that, you'd be a whole lot better. No. You need to realize who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ and get closer to Him, and He will clean you up as He sees fit. We try to quit this thing. I'm going to tell you something. If you try to quit something, something else is going to replace it. Because there's going to be a vacuum there.
Yes.
All right. Now, while you're in Ephesians, I'll show you what you're supposed to do according to the Word of God. This is not me making stuff up, and I'm not going to get up here and tell you a whole bunch of stories about things. Well, let's look at what the Word of God says you're supposed to do. If you put on the new man, putting on something will take off the other things and replace what's supposed to be replaced. If I got up here and every Sunday I said, all right, this Sunday I'm going to preach and you need to quit your gossiping. Well, if it comes up in the text, we'll say it. But if it doesn't and I start telling you to quit this and quit that and quit the other thing, I'm telling you as a man what to quit. But if you put on the Lord Jesus Christ,
amen,
and start fellowshipping with Him and start walking with Him, the Lord Jesus Christ don't run other people down. Eventually, you'll get to the place where you don't run other people down by naturally walking with Him.
Right.
Well, because you take on characteristics of people you're around. You ever been around somebody and you say something, somebody said, you must have been around somebody. They say that. Or they do that. You pick up mannerisms and stuff. You start walking with the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And put on that new man. He will start conforming you to His image. And you will start being like Him just by being around Him. Not by just saying, all right, I'm going to take my flesh and I'm going to pick what I know I need to quit doing. I know I need to quit doing this other thing. You put on the new man and you'll put off the old man. Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says this right here.
That's right.
He tells you, talking about replacement, this is what he does. Look at verse number 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him into all things, which is the head, even Christ. So he's talking about the body of Christ. And then he starts talking about how that lost people walk and stuff in the vanity of their minds, verse number 17, and then we're going to get into what he's wanting you to do. Look at verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The more you read the Bible, it's going to renew your mind and push things that don't need to be there. It's going to push that out of there. Just like some of y'all have watered cows before. You just put your water hose down in there. The bucket's too big to tump over. You can't tump over your own buckets, what I'm showing you. You know what you do? You just let that water run and it'll push the bad water out of there, and then good water will be in there. Renew your mind. Start putting good things in your mind. Be around people that love the Lord and put good things in your mind. Don't be around folks that run you down, run other people down, and tell you can't do anything. That'll mess your mind up. Always being around that. That's why it's good to be around other believers. But when you say something, you ever had an idea and they said, that will never work? Well, you don't know. You hadn't tried. Just don't tell them then. Renew your mind. Get the Word of God in there and they'll push things out. Now watch what this will do. Amen. And that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That means there's a false holiness.
That's right.
It's true holiness. In that you don't have to make out like you're somebody who you're not.
That's right.
If you don't want to say amen, don't say amen.
That's right.
If you don't want to bless you Jesus type, some people, they know all that religious garb and everything else, and they know how to sound like the holy when they just as far, far away from the truth as they can be, and they don't even care anything about it. The Bible says true holiness. Like I've been to preachings before, and then preacher get there, say amen right there. Well, if I don't want to amen it, I ain't amening it, man. Well, if you don't think it's true this morning, don't say amen. It's not required. What you're supposed to amen is the truth. It's the true holiness. What will that do? Watch this. Wherefore, putting away lying, watch what's going to happen. You renew your mind. The old man, the old man lies. So what do you do? Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Don't tell some people, look, if you don't have a good doctrine to replace it with, don't tell them they're wrong on so-and-so and so-and-so without telling them what the truth is. Why? Because they'll stop doing something and then something bad will replace it. If you tell them, okay, you're wrong on so-and-so and you don't know the verses to teach them to do the right thing, they're gonna fill that void with something. You stop lying, what do you do? Put truth in its place. Put off the old man lying, put on the truth. It says this right here. For we are members one of another. Here's one, every one of us. Be angry and sin not.
Right.
It's not a sin to be angry. The Lord was angry. But watch what it was. Of course, it was right anger. But it says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Just don't stay angry.
That's right.
I'm scared of some of these people never get mad about anything. Some people, none of the stuff going on in the world, all this child trafficking, all this you know, stuff with fentanyl and all this stuff, they hear about that, don't even bother them. Some of this stuff ought to bother you, but just don't go to bed mad and let everything keep you mad. That's bad. Why? Because it tells you neither give place to the devil. These things will give the devil a place. And if you give him a place in your life, that's all he wants, a place. So what I'm trying to show you is you have all these blessings, and I could go over the rest of this stuff in this chapter. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. Okay, well, today you're required to work with your hands and do something. Well, there under the kingdom program, he said, look, he's saying, and we went over Daniel's time scale. They're on a time scale, and he's saying, look, this kingdom is at hand. You need to sell everything you have.
That's right.
And come follow me.
That's right.
So you know what? Right now, you're required, okay, you got to get up and go to work. I don't like it. I don't feel like it. Well, you better get up and go to work anyway. You got people depending on you.
That's right.
That's what you're required of today. Now, what you're going to have to do is realize you've got all these blessings and appropriate them. That'd be like a man having $1 million in his pocket and going around and never doing anything with it. You got all these blessings. Realize who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ and apply what you have, and you have the power there to apply it. Now back to the book of Mark, because I want to tell you something. You're in a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
You've got the weapons there.
Yeah.
All right, right here, this earthly program, there were things they had to deal with. You got to realize today, you got the completed Bible.
Yeah.
The Bible calls itself a sword in Ephesians chapter number 6. The Bible tells you, loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, praying always. You have all these things at your disposal. And then we say, I just don't know why so-and-so. Well, maybe you laid your sword down. You expect to win anything, laid your sword down. I don't know why I've got these mental strongholds. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. They're pulling down the strongholds. All right, I got this thing in my, I just can't get over it. Okay, well, have you got the shield of faith? You got the helmet of salvation on? Put your helmet down.
That's right, brother.
And wonder why this stuff's bothering you. See, you're in a warfare. The devil does not want you to have peace. Why? Here's the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. You can't produce it because it's the fruit of the Spirit. So does the devil want you to have true love?
No.
No, he don't want you to have true love. He don't want you to have real joy. He wants you to have happiness, because happiness is based on what happens. You're not going to find happiness looking for it.
That's right.
Happiness is found on the road to doing that which is right.
Amen.
See, what the world's taught, if you have all these things, you can have happiness here. And happiness is found not, no. Joy, which is something people can't take from, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the old acronym is Jesus, others, yourself. And then, but you're taught world-wise, yourself, others, Jesus, last. If you have time, you know, Jesus. We'll make time for Jesus sometime or another. Then you get busy, don't you? And then our mind gets messed up and say, I wonder what happened. I tell you, laid your helmet down, and then guess what? Goliath, you go back over in 1 Samuel 17, and you read through that text, you'll find out that he set his helmet down, and you know what it was? David picked up a smooth rock and hit him in the head with a smooth rock. You know what, this old smooth way of life, everything just simple, everything just easy. Man, I'm just going, you know what people say? We're just going to go take it easy. Be careful how long you stay on that easy road.
That's right.
Easiness too long will make you weak. Well, it's good to rest, but there's a difference between resting and being lazy. It's good to have all those things. Look, it's good for us, like today. I like to take myself a Sunday nap. But if you take a nap every day when you're supposed to be working, you're in a bad shape. So there comes to be a balance there. So you know what the devil tries to get you to do? Just take thine ease, sleep, a little folding of hands, a little sleep to rest. And poverty shall come upon you, it says over in Proverbs.
That's right.
That's some good wisdom. Now, I'm telling you, that stuff's going on. So you know what's happening here? The Lord's having to prepare His disciples for something. Man, there ain't no way that clock's right. I hope everybody's doing all right. All right, let me show you. Let me get down in this other thing right here. Now, so we see that they're looking into that world to come as their eternal life, because there are going to be people enter into that kingdom who enter into life. You don't enter into life. You trust the gospel. He makes you a new creature. You're in Christ Jesus. The Bible said, my life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. You're in Christ, and Christ is eternal life. So I don't have to enter into anything. I don't have to endure anything. That's under their program.
Right.
Our program, 1 Corinthians 1:7-8, said Christ already endured it for you. Why? He's in Christ, and He's already endured it for you.
Yeah.
All right, now you get right here. Watch what it says in verse number 32. You better get this, because this is going to transgress every Baptist you ever read about. I call them Baptists. Why? Because a lot of them don't read their Bible. You know what gets me? If you read somebody a verse, and they said, well, I wasn't taught that when I was a kid. I don't care what you was taught when you was a kid. The Bible goes against it. The Bible's right and your tradition's wrong.
Yeah.
And people will get mad at you for going against tradition. Let me tell you, there ain't going to be no Baptists in heaven.
That's right.
Baptists, Methodists, all this stuff. And people get mad at me because I'm not saying y'all are, because y'all know I'm crazy. But I'm just going to tell you. Y'all, you think the Lord's going to get up there and say, what Baptist church was you a part of? Well, I was part of Free Will Baptist. Oh, I was part of Southern Baptist. I was part of Independent Baptist. I was First Independent Baptist. We was Free Will so-and-so, so-and-so. We was Missionary Baptist. There's 100 different ones. Which one was you part of then? And they all believe something just a little bit different. You know what you better be? Better be a Bible-believing Christian.
That's right.
You better be somebody that believes the Word of God and checks what the man's saying. Why? Because a lot of men love money, and they're going to say what the money tells them to say because they don't want to make their buddies mad. And I tell you something, that's called a green lead. That's called preaching on a leash.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something, Brother Chase will not preach on a leash.
Amen.
Now, I may say some things a little bit crazy on accident, but I hope I will never tell you something intentionally wrong. We're going to check it with the Word of God. So when I read these verses, you better read the verses, not your tradition. Now, verse 32 says, "And they were in the way, going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed." Now, why are they getting amazed? They done told him they was going to kill him. They's amazed. He just going up through there just like he owns a place. Why? He made it. Imagine the Lord walking around on the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ made heaven and earth, and he's going around people saying, "We're going to kill you." He's eternal life. Bible said he laid down his life.
Amen.
They didn't kill. In a sense they did. His humanity. Let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ is 100% man and 100% God. He's the God man.
Right.
They laid down. I got to make sure you know that. It says, "And as they followed, they were afraid." Now, they were amazed, but they were afraid. They're going up through there and they're thinking, "Uh-oh, we're going to die. I guess we're going to die with him." It says, "And he took again the 12." You better underline this in your Bible, because we're going to go to Luke 18. I'm going to show you a reference to it as well. "And began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests," it said, "and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again."
Amen.
Now that's what he said was going to happen. But hold on just a minute. Didn't you believe the death, burial, and resurrection for your salvation? Well, you know you're in a different program right here. He's telling them he's going to die and be buried and rise again. They don't even believe him. You know what they're believing? The gospel of the kingdom. That's why Paul said, in Galatians chapter 1, "If any man preach unto you any other gospel, let him be accursed." Why? Because in the dispensation of grace of God, you're not supposed to mix the kingdom gospel, good news that the king is coming, good news that the kingdom is at hand, with our gospel. Why? Because they're two different messages.
That's right.
If you get that thing, I was taught when I was a kid by preachers all over, well, they just believe the same thing all through the Bible. You ain't reading your Bible.
Amen.
I ain't mad at you. I'm just saying you're not reading your Bible. Look at Luke 18. Luke 18. Now look, I'm not mad at y'all. I just get mad at situations because I'm amazed. I'm amazed at people who will look at the verse and you're going, well, this is what the verse says. It's in the context, rightly divided. Here's what it says. I don't know about that. I'm going to go talk to my preacher about that. If the Bible says it, what does it matter what your preacher says about it? He's going to go and say, and he don't read Greek, and he'll say, well, I don't know how to explain that, but I tell you what, I bet you the Greek says so-and-so. No, all of us country folks don't, you think anybody around here hick your flat, pots count reading Greek and Hebrew? Ask them, okay, sorry, if you correct my Bible with Hebrew and Greek, I want you to go get something you've never read before and translate that in Hebrew and Greek before that you don't have time to practice it. I can't do that. If you can't do that, I'm not going to trust your translation of the Word of God then.
That's right.
I'll trust that God got it for me right here. I'm not going to trust your scholarship. And if it makes them mad, they get mad. Look at Luke 18. Same context. Luke 18 is just giving you some information that John didn't, because it's talking about the rich man and Luke 18 verse 24 and all these things. But watch what Jesus says here. I'm going to read this again. He said in verse 33, "For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on." That's the same thing I just read. But watch this. "And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again." Watch verse 34. "And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which they were spoken." So Jesus Christ was not going around preaching when he was preaching the gospel. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, because he wasn't saying, "I'm going to die and I'm going to be buried and I'm going to rise again." They put their faith in that, because when he preached it, it was hid from them. Now, take your Bible. You've got to have this cross reference. Where are you at today? Dispensation of grace of God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Remember it said it was hid from them. You got to realize what was being preached. Y'all, Jesus Christ is doing miracles, and He wasn't just doing miracles just to be doing. Here in just a little while, Mark, whenever he heals blind Bartimaeus, why does He heal him? Because in their program, it says that He's going to be healing the blind. He's going to be making the deaf where they can hear. And the blind are going to receive their sight. And the lame are going to leap as in heart. And they're supposed to be able to say, hold on just a minute. This man's saying He's the Messiah. But all His miracles are matching the Messiah, the messianic miracles that's in the prophesied program. This must be the Christ. Why? Because there's going to be a false Antichrist come up, and the Bible says whenever that comes up, he's going to be doing miracles. And the Bible said there's going to be many people who said, we did miracles and we did many mighty wonderful works. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. They were doing works just like Judas was doing work, and Judas was a devil. So how do you check them? They're doing wonders and they're doing works that doesn't match Scripture. Jesus Christ was doing the work saying, I'm matching Scripture with my wonders. He had to be the Messiah. So what He was preaching was the kingdom was at hand, but all the things that we know today was hid from them. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, remember it said it was hid. All right, you got to have your Bible because there's cross references in there. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 3 says, but if our gospel, what's our gospel? Death, burial, and resurrection. Be hid. It was hid from them. But our gospel, it said, if it be hid, is hid to them that are lost. Were the disciples lost? No, they weren't lost. They believed the kingdom message. Today, if you believe the kingdom message, okay, the preaching of Jesus Christ, He's at hand, and you believe that alone, you'll die and go to hell.
That's right.
Why? Because that's not what you're supposed to believe for salvation today. Right here, you're in the dispensation of the grace of God, and other things have been revealed since God put that program on pause at the stoning of Stephen. We've seen that Scripture was Scripture. You know what you're supposed to rest in today? The fact that Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day. That is what you're supposed to trust for your atonement, for your sin. That's what you're commanded. Why? Everybody in this room is going to die. The worm's going to get my body one of these days. So you know what? I'm going to be buried. You say, well, I'm not going to be buried. I'm going to be cremated. Either way, your body's going to the ground, whether you cremate it or whatever it is. Either way, you're going to the ground. But you know what? Your death can become His death, and your burial can become His burial. And because He rose and you trusted that, and He gives you His death, His burial, and His resurrection will be imputed to you. And when you trust that, He gives that to you as a free gift. That's what you're required to believe today. That's your mail. Why? Because you're not in the kingdom program. You're in the program right now in the gospel of the grace of God, and He tells you that's what's required. So you know what? As we go out, what are we supposed to do? Make sure that you're preaching the right message.
Yeah.
You say, I'm not trying to be mean when I say John MacArthur and Paul Washer and all these guys are heretics, but I have to tell you, I'm commanded. Paul said, Hymenaeus and Philetus. He named them.
Right.
You're supposed to name people who are blatantly teaching false doctrine. Now, some of this other stuff we can argue about, that's fine. But somebody who is out and out teaching false doctrine, you know what they're doing? They are leading people to hell by teaching a false gospel.
Amen.
Right. You can't teach a bloodless gospel and not call people out on that thing. So what are we doing? I'm teaching you verse by verse so you can go through there and say, okay, there are all the Bibles for you to profit from, but some of it is not to you doctrinally.
That's right.
So that's why I'm going through this stuff with you verse by verse so you can see it. So now, back to Mark. I wanted you to see that. And it also, in Mark chapter 10, verse 34, in that thing, I always wondered, why did it say? Why did it say in verse 34, and shall spit upon him? You ever wondered that? I've looked at it and say, man, that spitting must be pretty bad. So you know what I did? Just took my Bible. This is another reason why I like to tell y'all how to study your Bible. We're taught vertical things. People say, this just means so-and-so to me. That's how you get into false doctrine.
Right.
God told me so-and-so. He may have told you something He didn't tell me. I'm going to check the Bible with it.
Amen.
Somebody tells you God told them something and it don't match with the Bible, guess what? God didn't tell them. You check it with the Word of God. Now, this thing about spitting, if you look in the first mention of spit is in Leviticus 15. So this is something a little different. I thought I'd show it to you right quick. Now, why am I telling you this? Jesus Christ, He's prophet. He came as prophet. He's prophesying all these things. He's priest. He's a priest.
That's right.
But He's coming as King one of these days. King of kings, Lord of lords. He's coming, and He said He fulfilled all the law. So when He's doing all these things, you know what He's doing? Every single thing, down to even, remember I told you last time we looked at this thing where it said He blessed the children? That runs you right back to bless them, and you can run every reference. And even by the fact that He blessed the children, He's showing them He is God in the flesh. So when it said spit upon them, why would it say that? He's fulfilling all the law. He said He came to fulfill all the law and the prophets. All right, verse Leviticus 15, verse number 8. This is the directions for somebody who gets spit upon, or I don't know if the proper thing, I'm kind of bad on my English. Is it spat upon or spit upon? They spit on Him is what we'd say. All right, verse 8 says, "And if he that hath the issue spit upon him that is clean." All right, who's clean? The Lord Jesus Christ is clean. They're under the law in the Gospels.
That's right.
All right, Jesus Christ is clean. They are the ones with the issue, right?
Yeah.
It says, "Then he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean unto the even." I got to show you these two things. I'll close out because, man, I know we went over a lot of verses. What would be the water? You know, He just told them He's going to go die and be buried and rise again. And y'all know that the cross is where He pays for sin, and it's a spiritual transaction taking place.
Right.
All right, if you will, we'll look at this thing for just a moment. Turn to Psalm 69. This is one of many. What did He do? The Bible tells you that had the princes of this world known what He was doing, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It wasn't just earthly princes. Principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, all these rulers, they didn't realize what was going on with the cross. He gets on the cross and a spiritual transaction's taking place, and the Lord is taking care of your sins and the sins of the whole world on the cross. So how does Psalm 69, this is a messianic psalm here, and a lot of the things has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in this psalm. These are prophetical things all through the Psalms. Look at verse 1. Psalm 69, verse 1. "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul." Remember, he's supposed to wash himself in water. The Lord Jesus Christ goes upon the cross, and the cross is a picture of someone drowning in water. Now, I'm gonna read this other verse, but I'm going to show you something. When the Lord Jesus Christ is on the cross paying for the sins of the world, He's up on that cross, and if you ever thought about this thing, He's got His feet nailed, His hands. You know what's going to happen? People who go to hell, they go to a lake of fire, and they get a body prepared for that lake of fire with no arms and no feet, and all they have is just a mouth. I know that's a gross-looking thing, but the Bible says, "Where their worm dieth not," and Jesus Christ goes, trying to catch His breath. Well, it's like water. He's on that cross and He's pushing. Those people on that cross at the push up, and they go like that. Thank God I'm saved. I'm telling you something. Man, thank God. It says this right here about the waters. Watch what it says in Psalm 69. Man, you think about salvation. I'm telling you, what God did for you on that cross, you'll praise Him through all out eternity. You'll praise Him. Thank God I'm saved. Look at verse number 1. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. You know it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, because look at verse 8. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. During the Gospels, His brethren didn't believe on Him. The Bible said in John chapter 1, He came unto His own and His own received Him not. Okay, you look over here at Psalm 69 and look at verse number 15. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit, see, there's hell, shut her mouth upon me. So it said He's going to get, if He gets spit upon, the waters, And then it said, unclean, it said back in the law, and be unclean unto the even. Turn your Bible now to Mark 15, unto the even. Man, I'm you can't, this, there ain't nothing like the Word of God. Mark 15. Man, I'm telling you something, unclean unto the even. So the Lord Jesus Christ goes to the cross. The cross are like waters. And you get up there, and it tells you, unclean unto the even. I'm going to wait till everybody gets there before I read this thing. And I want you to see this. When he's up on the cross, look at verse number 42. It says, and now when, watch this, the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath. Here it is, it's the even, and the Lord Jesus Christ gets up on the cross, and you know what? They have to take him down at the afternoon according to the law. It's the even. You know what? Whenever they spit, he said they're going to spit on him. Even the little phrase, they're going to spit on him, he's showing you by saying that. They're supposed to be able to go back on the law, and they're supposed to be able to check and say, even every jot and every tittle is pointing to Jesus Christ being their Messiah.
That's right.
Jesus Christ being God. You know what you can trust? You can go back to that Bible and you can run those references, and when he says he's God, you can check it with the Word of God, he's God. There's no way a man could have wrote that. There's no way a man could have written a book so accurate that every little thing that you check checks out with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know what he said over in Hebrews? Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. You can read all that Bible you want to. If you miss Jesus Christ, you have missed it all.
Right.
You know what? We've got so many things today. We've got all these study materials and all this stuff. And I believe some of the greatest sermons that have ever been preached are being preached today, because we've got access to so many things to study with. And you know what? A lot of people, they say, well, you know, I just don't know about this, that, and other. Why don't you then? You got all these study materials. You still in America as many freedoms as we're losing day to day. You still got access to Bible. Still got access to churches. Y'all, salvation is so simple. Jesus Christ said over there in Corinthians, he said, I'm afraid that you'll be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. You know what sin does? It complicates things. The gospel is so simple. Anyone in here, if you understand that you're a sinner, and you understand the fact that if you deserve hell, you can get saved right here. And it's so simple, people stumble over it.
That's right.
Can you place your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did alone? People say, well, you need to make sure. Now, you did that, but you need to make sure you do this other thing, this other thing, this other thing. He said, you're complete in Christ.
Yeah.
What if you're on your deathbed and you trust Jesus Christ? What about, so that person, he's going to do all this list of things before they can get saved? People do get saved on their deathbed.
Right.
They do. Why? The gospel can save anybody.
That's right.
As long as you're able to breathe and take your next breath, the gospel, the grace of God can touch the vilest sinner there is. And I know I'm out of time, but I'm going to say this. And I appreciate y'all putting up with me with all these verses.
Amen.
But y'all, when we go out, let's keep the gospel message simple and plain.
That's right.
And make sure that look, what you preach here in America should be able to preach anywhere else.
Yeah.
You got people that put stipulations on things. They say, well, you're not saved if you're not coming to church, so and so. What about some of these people who can't go to church?
That's right.
What about people, some of these people having to meet in their homes and stuff like that? Well, you're not saved unless you dress a certain way. What about people that don't have access to that dress?
Amen.
Well, you're not saved if you don't do so and so. Christ said it's finished on the cross. He done everything. He said, well, I think I'm doing a little bit more than old so-and-so. You might, but I can probably pick somebody else out that does more than you. What about Jesus Christ? He's the standard.
Right.
Other people aren't the standard.
Right.
The murderer you pick in prison is not the standard. You know the standard? Jesus Christ. I'm quitting. But y'all, thank you for letting me preach along today. And I hope some of this thing's been a help to you. And look, I'm going to pray. I'm going to get somebody to pray, and I'm going to walk back here and close out. But y'all know I'll stay. I'll talk to you all day long. If you got a question about anything, but if anybody needs to be saved, today's the day to be saved.
That's right.
The Bible says, boast not thyself tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.
That's right.
Today could be your last day.
That's right.
And I thank the Lord for those of us who are saved. I know. The Bible said we are always confident knowing.
Amen.
Now, are you confident knowing this morning? It's not in yourself, because it didn't say I'm confident in feelings. See, here I'm preaching again. I'm confident in the Word of God, and I hope you are today. Let's close out. Brother Brett, if you would, close us out.
Lord, we just